Well, today's lesson is titled, God Said It, Let God Be True. We study the Bible often here, and one thing that we focus on is taking the Bible as the Word of God in truth, as it's said, not twisting Scripture, not making it say something that it doesn't say, and not taking it and changing what it says, changing the meaning to something that it didn't say. That sometimes we term as a literal interpretation of the Bible. We take it for what it says. And that's the topic of today. We're going to be looking at how God has said things throughout time and what he has said. So let's start out. You may be familiar with Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, that talks about God speaking at sundry times and in diverse manners. Well, what was the times at which God has spoken, and what were those diverse manners? In the beginning, God said. If you look at Genesis chapter 1, you see that repeated. God said, let there be. God said, we will make man in our image. God said, and it was so. God spoke. And we have confirmation of that in 2 Peter in chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. I've forgotten my normal Bible, so I'm going to be using an electronic Bible. They're very handy tools to quickly pull up verses. And so this will maybe make me a little bit faster today than you, or maybe I'm just slow. Who knows? We'll see. Starting in chapter 3, verse 3, 2 Peter, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the waters and in the water. By the word of God, the earth and the heavens were formed. God spoke at creation, and he formed the world. This is one way that God has spoken, and the Bible records those things that he said. Amen. All things were created by the word, by God. Look at John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And if you skip down a little bit to verse 14, and the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. You know that this is speaking of Jesus. Jesus is God. We know the Trinity, Jesus the Son, God the Father, and the Holy Spirit. God spoke, and when we say God spoke, we mean God, the Trinity. God also spoke to prophets. He sent prophets, and we read about this in Matthew chapter 23. Take a look at Matthew chapter 23. Starting here in verse 29. through 36. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. This is Christ speaking to them. That's God speaking, by the way. We'll get to that. And you say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore, ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily, I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. From Abel to their history, their concurrent history, God had sent the nation and mankind prophets, Abel being the son of Adam and Eve. Amen. So beginning to the time of Jesus here, prophets. God spoke to and through prophets. It also mentioned scribes in there, which scribes write things down. Those prophets wrote things down, which we call scriptures. We'll talk about that in just a second. But first, let's take a look at 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 21, Peter says, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." These prophets were not speaking their own words. They were speaking the words that the Holy Ghost, God, gave them to speak. God speaks through the prophets. I told you that prophets wrote down things, which we called scripture. And God spoke through those scriptures. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. You're familiar with this verse, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. "And that from a child," this is Paul speaking to Timothy, "from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God gave scripture. God speaks through scripture. So I'm going to write in here scripture. God spoke at sundry times and in diverse manners. You know another way that God spoke? He actually came to earth and he spoke with a mouth. God spoke by his son, Jesus. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Starting in verse 1. "God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets," we covered that, "hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." God, Jesus, the same. "Who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." Here we see not only did Jesus speak, but Jesus is God's Son. Jesus is the brightness of his glory. Amen. And express image of his person. Jesus is, as we covered in John chapter 1, the Word who was with God in the beginning and is God. So God has spoken himself to us. Well, how else has God spoken? God spoke through the Holy Ghost and the apostles. These apostles were also witnesses of Christ. They spoke with Christ. Amen. Let's take a look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, starting in verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. This is Jesus speaking, by the way. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Jesus said he would be sending the Holy Ghost. He's speaking to the apostles here. I'll send you the Comforter. He will teach you what to say. So God is speaking through the Holy Ghost, through the apostles. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. In verse 1, Peter says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye might be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, which we talked about, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. God spoke through the apostles. Amen. Take also a look at 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, starting in verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, their witnesses, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may also have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Has God spoken in any other ways? Well, I think we'll see, and for my purposes, maybe down here at the bottom, I'm going to put one other way that God spoke. Through Paul. And Paul is also an apostle, but he's the last and the least, right? Anyway, so he gets a spot at the bottom. Now, that's because I'm going to draw something here. But Paul spoke the words of God that God gave Paul to speak. In fact, God revealed the mystery to the Apostle Paul, the Apostle of the Gentiles. Paul testifies of this. Take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Starting here in verse number 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints I'm in chapter 1, sorry. I'm glad I read that, though, because it says Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. I did want to make that point. Sorry. Now I'm in chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, a witness, then of the 12 witnesses. And after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Amen. God spoke through the apostle Paul. Amen. Take a look at 2 Peter chapter 3. You know, it's one thing for Paul to claim that God spoke through him, but what about some other person actually also confirming that that happened? Well, in 2 Peter chapter 3, you're familiar with this, I'm sure. In verse 16, Peter says, starting in verse 15, and account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also other scriptures unto their own destruction. Paul's epistles are called scriptures. God speaks through prophets, apostles, scriptures, Amen. And Paul. So throughout time, God has spoken, and in many ways, diverse ways, he has spoken. So we see this kind of summarized here. But I need to give you a warning, because there's someone else that does speak, and that someone is you. And that someone is me, and that someone is the devil. And unfortunately, that someone is many Christians, many pastors. These folks are speaking, and quite often, they're speaking things that are not what God said. In fact, it was God that said it. Hath God said? From the very beginning, look at Genesis chapter 3. The word of God was questioned. Now the serpent, in verse 1, was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? That question reminds me, I once was one of the very last times I was ever attending a meeting at another ministry. And it just so happened to be my grandparents' church. And the pastor was teaching a sermon. Man, he must have thought he was cool, because he was like, Jesus said what? That was his title. Jesus said what? And my title is based on that title. God said it. Let God be true. Why? Because he said, you know, when Jesus in Luke 18 said, sell all and give to the poor, did he really say that? Jesus said, what? Sell all that I have? No, what he really meant was just be willing. Just be willing. You know what that reminds me of? Hath God said? That's the lie of the devil.
Amen.
Right there. Let's read Luke 18, starting in verse 18. Jesus says to a certain young ruler or ruler who comes up to him and asks him about inheriting eternal life. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you got to trust that I died for your sins and that I resurrected for your justification. Nope. What did Jesus say? Jesus says, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God.
Amen.
In other words, are you calling me God? Because that's what you should be doing. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said what Carol described all good Methodists would say. All these things, all these have I kept from my youth up. I don't know if that guy was being completely honest, if you think about it. Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when this person heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye. You guys know how big a camel is, right? Big animal. You know what a needle's eye is? It's the little thing you put the thread through, right? It's easier for a camel to go through that eye than it is for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. God said through Jesus, sell all you have, give to the poor, and follow me. That's also similarly accounted for in Matthew 19, Mark 10, and I think in Matthew 19 or Mark 10, not sure which one, it says after the rich young man or the ruler is sorrowful, or after he says, I've kept all these things since my youth, it says Jesus loved him and said, and then said, here's what you lack. This is what you need to do, which is an interesting thought that here I'm pretty sure that guy was lying to Jesus. And then it says he loved him and he gave him he tried to give him the correct understanding. But anyway, did Jesus really mean that? Did Jesus really mean sell all that you have, or should you just be willing? We've got a problem, and when it's hard to understand what is said in the Bible, what God has said, your reaction should not be to question God's word.
Amen.
Instead, you should study. You should figure out more. You should try to learn more about what was said. And in fact, if you do that, you'll find Acts chapter 4. Take a look at Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 34. This is after Christ has died and resurrected and ascended to heaven. The apostles and the believers, the church that was formed, are meeting together and they're doing things together. And this is describing what they were doing. And it says in verse 34, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. That sounds like they were following what Jesus told them to do. They were selling all that they had and giving to the poor. And what happens? And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is the name you know, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Okay, they're all selling what they have, giving to the poor. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession. Okay, so they sold it, that's good. And kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Well, they were willing, right? So, good to go. They were willing. They actually kind of followed through. Halfway, but, you know, they were willing. No. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? Not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. I think, based on this account, that Jesus was serious when he said, sell all that you have and give to the poor. And here are people that did not, and the price they paid was they gave up the ghost. They died. So, don't come to God's word when it's hard and start questioning it. Instead, study more and let God be true. If God said, sell all that you have and give to the poor, he meant sell all that you have and give to the poor, not be willing to. However, there's another lie, and that is using God's word incorrectly. Not rightly dividing, we might say. Or tempting God. In fact, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, we already read. However, let's take a look at the account of Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Jesus being in the wilderness. What was he doing there? Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. What was he doing there? Being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it may be bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. It is written. God said it. Here's what we're supposed to do. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power I will give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all this shall be thine. And Jesus answered again and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Okay, you know, devil, you're failing here. It's written, it's written, it's written. This is what God said. Well, the devil kind of gets wise, I think, here. He says, he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. You can use the word of God wrongly. Yeah. This is also the devil's lie. When you take scripture out of context, out of the time it was said to the audience it was said within the context that it was given, and you use it incorrectly, that's a lie. That's not what God said. Did God say the words? Are you using them in the way God intended? Or are you using them within the context they belong? So Satan here quotes God. It is written. And what does Jesus say? He answers him and says, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. By using God's word incorrectly against God, Satan was tempting God. We shouldn't tempt God either. In John chapter 6, take a look at John chapter 6. Jesus says something really hard here. Of course, I'm sure you guys, this is not hard for you. It's pretty easy. John chapter 6, starting in verse 53. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Yikes. That sounds a lot like cannibalism. You know, there's a church that eats Jesus' body and drinks his blood. And here's the reason why they say they do it. You have no life in you unless you do that. I wonder if they are using what God said incorrectly. I wonder if they're tempting God. Jesus continues, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. Oh, that's very hard. Instead of using God's scripture incorrectly, maybe we can do a little bit more study. Yeah. And if we do, maybe we can find John 6, verse 63. Amen. John 6, verse 63, a few verses later, Jesus gives an explanation for the hard saying that he just said. It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus is making a point about his words, not his body and his blood. When the Bible speaks figuratively, the Bible tells you. If it doesn't tell you that it's speaking figuratively, take it for what it says. God said it, let God be true. Amen. There are other examples I could give you. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means he's always the same. So what he did back in the day, he's doing that today too. Except for the fact that he changes his instructions. Are you supposed to take a script, a purse, and a coat with you on your journey, or are you not supposed to? Jesus said both. Which one do you follow? His instructions changed. God's instructions changed. Are you supposed to beat your swords into plowshares or your plowshares into swords? Which one are you supposed to do? Or more importantly, is the gospel the same everywhere in the Bible? After all, Paul talks about preaching the gospel of the uncircumcision and Peter preaching the gospel of the circumcision. God said it through Paul. That means we should take it the way God said it. Let God be true. There's a difference, and we need to recognize the difference. Amen. So, what did God say? What did God speak? He spoke at these times, through these ways. What did he actually say? Well, God created man in the beginning to have dominion on the earth. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. God created man to have dominion on earth. I have to move my paw. If you've drawn this the way I did, you got to move it. Sorry. I got to move it out of the way here. Paul. Dominion. On earth. That's what God said at creation, at the beginning. You know what Paul said? Paul said God created the body of Christ, the church, to resurrect in glory in heavenly places. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ our Lord. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. And let's also take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 again. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they that are also earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Amen. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Let's also take a look at what else Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2. Starting in verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, this is talking about God, but so we'll start in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Also in Colossians chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. If then we be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Paul says, this dominion on earth is now for the body of Christ, affections on heaven, on heavenly things. We'll say, heavenly things. That seems to be different. Yeah. Like God's saying something different. And again, we've already talked about that it was God who said it. Let God be true. Why would we take what God has said and use it incorrectly? Why, if it's hard to understand, would we say God really didn't say that? That would be the devil's lie. God's words also came through the prophets in the scriptures, and they spoke of Jesus. And Jesus testifies to this in Acts chapter 3. I'm sorry. Yes, Acts chapter 3. It's not Jesus, it's Peter talking here. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. And starting in verse 18, Peter's talking to men of Israel from all nations there that have come to Jerusalem, and he's talking about the fact that they killed Christ. Yeah. And he says in verse 18, but these things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Peter says that the prophets in the scriptures have spoken of Jesus Christ, and they have said things since the world began. Yeah. Things revealed. Since the world began. What does Paul talk about? Well, look at Romans chapter 16. You know where I'm going here. Take a look at Romans chapter 16, starting in verse 25. Now to him that is power, that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, that's what he's preaching, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret. What? I thought the prophets, I thought scripture was revealing things since the world began. Hold on. Things that were kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known unto all nations for the obedience of faith. Paul says, I'm preaching Christ according to things which were kept secret. So he's preaching Jesus. But these things that he's talking about are kept secret since the world began. When I was young, I got probably an A-plus in writing class, but how far I've strewn, whatever the word is. These seem different. Things revealed since the world began, things kept secret since the world began. God said them both, but they're different. Let God be true. Recognize the difference, and don't use scripture incorrectly, and don't say that scripture says something it doesn't say. God also spoke by Jesus himself. He spoke about Israel's kingdom. Take a look at Mark chapter 1. Starting in verse 14. Now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time was fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Jesus came preaching the coming kingdom for Israel. God said it. God said it. That's God. And you can also see that in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. However, that same Jesus gave Paul some information about not the kingdom, the coming kingdom, but something called the body of Christ. Take a look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians In verse 15, Paul says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature," Amen. Something new that God has created. Not Israel, not their kingdom. Take a look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 10. Here Paul's instructing, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. And he continues in verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew. Now hold on a second. Greek and Jew? I thought it was Israel's kingdom. Wouldn't it matter whether or not you're Jewish? But he's saying it doesn't matter whether you're Greek or Jew in this new thing. Circumcision or uncircumcision. Hold on. Israel had a big deal with circumcision, didn't they? That was really important. But here Paul's saying there's something where that doesn't matter. Barbarian, Scythian, bond, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Also, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now, ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Paul calls us the body of Christ, the new creature, where it doesn't matter if you're Israel. So, Gentiles can be in this new thing called the body of Christ. Seems a little bit different than Israel's coming kingdom. And you know what? God said that. Let him be true. Amen. He said it. Why is it so hard for Christians, so-called today, to recognize this truth? God said it. It was God. The same God that said this. Let God be true. God, by the Holy Ghost, also, as we said earlier, spoke through the apostles. And what did the apostles talk about? Well, they talked about Jesus, the Christ, the Savior of Israel, whom Israel wickedly crucified. Take a look at Acts chapter 2. In verse 22, again, this is Peter speaking to the nation of Israel. They're gathered together in Jerusalem. Ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Wicked hands. You know, they preached the cross of Christ as a shame. It's a shame that the wicked hands of Israel crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. Continuing on there in verse 25, for David speaketh concerning him. By the way, that's David, a prophet. God spoke through the prophets. I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, Israel, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this, he, David, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus, so now he's going back to talking about Jesus, hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. The apostles were witnesses of Jesus. Jesus spoke through the Holy Ghost, through these apostles that were witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Through the Holy Ghost, through the apostles, they taught about Jesus being the Christ. And in particular, in this section, we're talking about the cross of Christ being a shame because they wickedly crucified their Lord. But the hope was he resurrected. What does Paul talk about the cross? Well, God did speak to the last apostle, that's the apostle Paul that we read about earlier, about grace and salvation through Christ's glorious cross. Amen. Salvation to Gentiles apart from Israel's covenants and promises. Take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. In verse 8, Paul says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Amen. Paul talks about Christ coming to save through grace and also save Gentiles apart from Israel's covenants and promises. Read Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8 with me. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Paul talks about Christ's blood, Christ's death, as a glory. In fact, I did not write the reference down and I haven't memorized this one, but doesn't he say glory only on the cross? don't glory in anything else. Paul preaches the cross is a glory. Now, you know what glory is. You know what shame is. They're different, aren't they? God said this, and God said this. God said this. God said it. Let God be true. So, in summary, when we come to the scripture, we need to have an understanding of what God has said, when he said it, and how he said it, so that we can recognize the differences and the changes in his instructions and not fall trap to the lie of the devil and question, did God say that? Or use God's scripture incorrectly. Are there any questions or comments?